Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday News. And on today's news, Hangman Page is your new AEW World Heavyweight Champion.
Jay Lethal has debuted in his hashtag All Elite.
We've got some more updates on the rest of the Full Gear card that happened last night.
And there's an injury update on Lance Archer. Hello, and welcome to the not-solo Sunday News today. Remember, yes. I'm Andrew Pollard here at What Culture Wrestling. I am joined by Mr. Benroy Turner. Benroy, thanks for coming along on this Sunday.
Thanks for just... let me be here, I guess.
Yeah, we should probably put out like a warning. We are both quite tired because AEW Full Gear was last night and being in the UK. Time differences, lack of sleep, and work is always a mix, normally fueled by some sort of energy drink, as we're both examples of this morning. But first and foremost, Benroy, Hangman Page.
Yeah, Hangman Page after 806 days, I think I counted the other last night, after his loss at All Out way back when in 2019, has finally won the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. I call it the World Heavyweight Championship. It's just the World Championship. I've got the World Heavyweight stuck in my head. But after all that time, Hangman Page is finally the champion after this long story that I think, obviously, AEW's longest story that sort of played out from him losing to Jericho, then sort of being tied up with the Elite and breaking up with them, and culminating him to finally beating Kenny Omega on one of their biggest stages. I thought the story leading up to it could be stretched out at times, but this was also meant to happen like last pay-per-view All Out, I guess. And the match went down great. I think the show would have been a lot weaker without this big win on the show. So I'm glad that Hangman... that it was almost extended to this one. And it seemed like the perfect time to pass the torch for a new era of Cowboy Shiznit. What did you think of the match, Andy?
Yeah, I loved it. I think I'm a little bit higher on the pay-per-view overall than your good self. But yeah, that main event I thought was great. The finish was great. The way you hit that second buckshot lariat just looked so smooth. Obviously, the kind of the nod from Matt Jackson, like almost like a... go on, put him out of his misery sort of thing. It was just lots of coolness. And the match, the entrance, that was really nice. I thought how they did that with, what was it, the Target Center, where you see all, almost like a recollection of this story of Hangman's played out on buildings. It's like, ah, that's a cool idea. Obviously, while he's riding the horse, which makes everything cooler as well. I loved it. And I think now it's a case of, obviously, we know who's waiting in the wings to go after the AEW world title now, in Bryan Danielson. But then it's like, what's next for Kenny? How does this work with the Elite? Obviously, that there's going to be some sort of fallout from the Bucks' presence at ringside. So yeah, I thought it was a great main event. And also it leads to a whole load more questions to be answered over the next few weeks and months. It's a good time.
Yeah, I wondered the Elite thing as well. Are we going to get a face turn out of them, or are some of them going to splinter off? Because like, Nick and Matt almost seemed like they were like, wait, are we going back to the good side? But then they might be talking about spending another £64,000 on trainers next week. So who knows, really?
Yeah. I thought the story that's there to write was you don't break up the Elite. This was obviously before Full Gear. And then when Kyle O'Reilly's contract comes up, what, reportedly next month, I think, It's and then all you've got to do is wait for Roddy Strong, and you could get some sort of Elite versus Undisputed Era or whatever you would call them. But I don't know what we'll see on this one. But what we will be seeing, or who we will be seeing in AEW going forward, is Jay Lethal. Now,
yes,
yeah, it was an interesting one. Obviously introduced to the stage formally. It wasn't like it was a surprise run-in or he's spotted in the audience. Tony Schiavone brought him to the stage at Full Gear. He announced that he, pronouns pal, Jay Lethal announced that he has officially signed with All Elite Wrestling, and then threw out the challenge to accept Sammy Guevara's challenge for a TNT title shot, which will take place on Wednesday. So there's a lot to break down there. Jay Lethal in AEW first and foremost. Is this a big get for you, or how are you feeling about Jay Lethal?
It's weird because, one, I was like, is there an open challenge? Have you just not been watching the show and just thought it was a mirror thing? Or because everyone seems to have done an open challenge, I think, since they won the belt. I mean, Mirror didn't necessarily have an open challenge, but he was just like openly wrecking people. Jay Lethal's a weird one because I'm an old, I guess it's, you would say, old school at this point, which makes me feel sad and old. TNA fan way back when Christian debuted, that sort of drew me in. And one of the characters, the wrestlers on that brand at the time was Jay Lethal. That really, I loved the Black Machismo, and I love that they sort of brung him out to Black Machismo-esque, Macho Man-esque music. And Jay Lethal's great, and I love him in the ring. He was at the All In. All the way back when. You say way back when now, it's because that was also 100 years ago at this point. It's weird because I just feel like he'll be a classic sort of AEW sort of debut for a lot of people. I'd say at this level, like, they come in, they'll have like matches for 6 weeks and then they sort of fade into the mist for a bit and then come back. I'm not against it. Jay Lethal's a great talent, so I would love to see what AEW can do with him and what he can sort of do in a on a bigger stage after being with Ring of Honor for quite a while now.
Yeah, basically 10 years. He is Mr. ROH. I think he was voted the Ring of Honor Wrestler of the 2010s. It's like, but it's got such a weird history when you break it down and look at it numbers-wise, because back in like 2005, he was fighting Samoa Joe. Well, he lost the Pure Championship, the Ring of Honor Pure Championship, to Samoa Joe. And then he had this spell in TNA, then went back there. And it's just like this career, it's like a 20-year career and the dude's only 36 years of age. It just feels like, well, he has been around forever, but he started really young, got two ROH world titles, there's the Pure Championship. I really enjoyed the foundation stuff he was doing with Jonathan Gresham and Hot Sauce and Rhett Titus in recent years. And part of me is sad that's not good. I mean, that could still, they could follow him over to AEW, but it's I think this is the first of many Ring of Honor alumnus that we'll be seeing in AEW, because obviously Ring of Honor, it's the awful news that they're basically kind of closing their doors by the end of the year, then having a hiatus in the first quarter of next year, and then relaunching as what just seems like a regular indie. So there's going to be a lot of people popping up, and I mean, Jay Lethal's a first. Maybe we get, I don't know, the Briscoes or something. It's an interesting one. I think I kind of agree what you're saying about how Jay Lethal will be used, whether it's a case of probably will be, he'll be on TV for a few weeks, and then you used a really good word before we started recording this about how they kind of cycle in and out talents. And yeah, you're guaranteed good matches with Jay Lethal. I'd be interested to see like what position he's in, if it is like that TNT title or there's something a bit higher for him.
Yeah. I just look forward to see what happens with Jay, but we should probably maybe run down some of the more notable things that happened on the card at Full Gear, mainly MJF beating Darby Allin with a side headlock, which was glorious, I would think. I don't know if there's much more to say about the match. It was just sort of like a weird sort of like mish of styles, and it seemed like more of an MJF match than anything else. Did this match do it for you?
It did. And I think it's because I like Darby Allin and I like his style, but I think it's more because it was an MJF match. I think that's a really good way to put it. It was more about body parts and selling, and obviously getting the cheap underhand win with the diamond ring shot and then the side headlock. So yeah, I really dug this match. It was probably what I thought one of the better matches on the card, and I thought most of the matches were good as well. But yeah, definitely tick boxes for me.
Some of the other matches on the card, let's just have a look at them and I'll just bounce around through them, as I am ill-prepared here and I lost the thing. we had the buy-in. That was fine. For the buy-in, we had Nyla Rose and Jamie Hayter losing to Thunder Rosa and Hikaru Shida, which was sort of obvious. We had another tag match later on in the card. I'm just going to go in any sort of order that I please, and then I'll just see if you want to jump at any point, Andy, at the end. Pac and Cody beat Malakai and Andrade. This was one of those matches that made it feel more like an episode of Dynamite to me at times, where I feel like you could have just sort of like trimmed that off and given other matches room to breathe. Especially as Andrade seemed to take about half an hour of his entrance, and then everyone else had to sort of rush out. And from there, it felt like parts of the show were being rushed. We had Lucha Bros defeat in FTR, but they pinged the wrong member of FTR, and they tried to make out that they were confused because they were both wearing masks, even though one's got a massive back tattoo. So and I don't know if that sort of worked for me as well. We had the super click losing to Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus and Christian Cage, which was fine, but I was worried because Matt Jackson took a concerto and then was just around at the end of the show. I feel like concertos, I don't know where if this happened or if I'm just me man shouting at the clouds, but I thought if you got a concerto, you sort of done in for a while. But we've had like Adam Cole get one and then wrestle 3 days there, sort of thing. So I guess it's just me thinking the concerto is a bit too powerful than it used to be. Daniel Bryan beat Miro to progress through. I think Daniel Bryan was always going to win, whether it is Miro or John Moxley. That was one of the sort of better. I liked how much of a struggle that was at times, and even though there was sort of like a few fumbles that I get added to it. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that. I think just this whole, the presentation of Miro in these last, 3, 4, 5, 6 months has just been brilliant. And you've just got this dominant monster who's very much like, a Nikita Koloff, always comes to mind. And then Daniel Bryan, as Jim Ross called him several times. It's a hard habit to get back out of, to go back to Bryan Danielson. So some credit to Jim Ross, I guess. I think in Bryan, you've got that perfect babyface foil there. And also he's credible because of the stiff kicks that he puts in Bryan. So I thought they worked really well together. I wasn't as nailed on with the result as your good self. I thought Bryan was going to win, but then there was a smidge where I thought maybe they go all in, no pun intended, on Miro, especially with Paige being the one to win the world title. But yeah, I really dug this match, and I really enjoyed the tag match as well. But then that massive FTR mark, they had me at their entrances, just the robes, the music, the mullet. It's like, I'm in my heyday.
That's good. I like both this match as well, and I just want to see more Bryan, and I'm glad he didn't red up his chest for this one, because his poor chest needs a break. Britt Baker defended her title against Ty Conte. I think that was pretty much of an obvious sort of like result. I just don't think we had Britt Baker be built up for so long that I just don't think you just take it off her that quickly. I think Britt Baker is going to be sort of a Thunder Rosa that's eventually going to dethrone her with that one. And then I would say probably my main event, CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston, just an excellent brawl. From start to finish, I was thrown off by CM Punk being CM Shorts instead of CM Trunks or Long Boys on that show. But just how it became an odd brawl, and you believed all the way through, even though like smart wrestling fans, but you believed all the way through that this was an actual fight, an actual, like they wanted to really do each other in, and like just from even promos where Kingston's like he's lying to you and things like that, I was drawn into this from start to finish. What do you think about this one, Andrew?
Yeah, I loved it. That was my match of the night. I thought the main event was great, but for me, and it was the shortest match as well, I think. It was only like 11 minutes and the rest all kind of around about 15, 20, 25 in some cases. I thought it was just so good. And I really liked the shorts. It was like a hybrid of, because in his ROH days back in the day, he'd have like the kind of knee length shorts, but these were like a little bit shorter, not quite Budgie Smugglers, but maybe that's where we go next for CM Punk. But yeah, I loved the start of it was just Eddie like blindsiding him with the back fist just before the before the bell even went. It's like, oh, this is, yeah, I was absolutely loving it. And it was, it felt real. You were invested in it. You were invested in the promos going into it. And I don't know, because partway through this, I was thinking, like, if they wanted to, I don't want to compare anybody to Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bret Hart, but CM Punk could be for Eddie Kingston what Bret Hart was for Stone Cold Steve Austin, that perfect foil for the character flip, the change, and the everyman, regular guy on the street sort of thing. It's, yeah, I love this match. I thought it was great, and I'd like to see more from him, but it's... That's the good and the bad of AEW is that they don't really do rematches that much. It's like you have your one big match that's been built to and that's it. So we might not get any more of this, but I'd love it if we did at some point.
Yeah, there's some points where I'm like, oh, I wish they did like pay-per-views every month so I can get more of these matches. But then I'm like, well, if we did have that, then we'd probably be oversaturated and I wouldn't want any matches. So that's a good thing. And yet I just feel like Eddie's got the most like genuine, like real... love from the fans out of anyone at the moment. Like, it almost felt like the entire show, it was like a quiet show until they came out and it was Eddie Kingston, CM Punk, and it just the crowd were going wild, and that sort of bled all the way through into the main event, which of course we've run through. Hangman Adam Page beat Kenny Omega. We got one more story, Andrew. One more story.
We do.
You've got it in your pocket. What is it?
I do, somewhere in my shorts that don't have any pockets on. But yeah, that's the under the camera part. Totally naked. That's it. Buck ass underneath this. Yeah. No, it's just a brief story because most of the stories this morning and today, it's just all fallout from Full Gear. And one, I guess, like adjacent story to that is that Lance Archer, there's a little injury update on him that he's out of action at the moment. And the diagnosis on that is it's a concussion that he's dealing with. This came from Wrestling Inc. reported this. And they also added how Archer was in Minneapolis this weekend for Full Gear, but obviously wasn't used on camera, and it was just a case of he was there as part of his rehab process. So hopefully it's not too long before the Murder Hawk Monster is back in an AEW ring. Are you looking forward to that day, Ben Roy?
I would say, but then I feel like he's become a bit of a Kane where everyone just beats him, even though he's a big imposing figure. Like, I want to believe in Lance Archer. Like, I also want to get well, because obviously you do, but at this point I feel like someone like a Miro and all that have taken his storm as being the big monstery man that destroys everyone. So I need Lance Archer to get some wins and win something important, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think there was that drop off when he lost the TNT title match against Cody. Kind of took loads of momentum out of him. And then they got it back and then he beat Moxley for the IWGP US title. And you're thinking, oh, this is cool. And obviously he lost that to Tanahashi. And then it's interesting to see where they go with Lance Archer when he comes back. And hopefully that is sooner rather than later. And hopefully it's a full recovery. He did say that it seems to be he'll be at the full recovery. And it could have been a lot worse because it was a horrible landing he had from a moonsault against Eddie Kingston in, I think that was the first title tournament match, or one of the ones anyway. But yeah, that's pretty much it, unless you've got any other little snippets you'd like to add, Ben Roy.
No, that's the news, I would say.
That is the news.
Yeah. Who's going to intro that? I guess we're just going to find out who's going to outro this thing. But I guess, thanks everyone for watching. This has been the Sunday News. I'm taking over Andrew's videos. I would try to scramble out of this and go back to bed. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe and all that lovely jazz. You can follow Andrew on Twitter at
Cultured Left Peg.
And you can follow me at Ben Roy Turner. And you can follow all of us at What Culture Is It? Well, are we What Culture WWE these?
We are What Culture WWE.
I never outro these ones. I'm always doing like game stuff. So yeah, you can follow us all at What Culture WWE. Anyway, until next Sunday, when inevitably it'll just be me, Andrew, just floating about after. Well, actually, it won't be, because these AEW pay-per-views are not going to be always a Saturday. So
and next you won't week, see I'm us here. Again. No, yeah, next week I'm off as well. I'll be interviewing Bret Hart next weekend in Telford at Wales Comic Con. That's my next weekend.
Make sure you give him a little kiss for me. And until next time, goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.